faith-filled finance. All major UK bank accounts. One app. Provision is built by Christians to help you steward what God's given you. Track your spending, saving, and giving in one place. Join the waitlist now at provision.money and get your first month free. That's provision.money.
Leadership File on Premier.
Welcome to the show which helps you lead where God has placed you. I'm Andy Peck. On occasions, I've spoken with leaders who discovered that God's plans led them to return to a place they had come from. And this is certainly the case with my guest today. Fiona Kirby-Smith had left her home of Scunthorpe for a New Wine discipleship year in Stockport near Manchester, only to discover in 2013 that God was looking for her to return to plant a missional community in the urban priority of Crosby in the west of the town. And I'm delighted she's been able to join me on the show to explore her journey and the challenges of leading this kind of ministry. So welcome, Fiona, to the Leadership File.
Thank you.
Scunthorpe is a pleasant North Lincolnshire town, but many people who leave home don't necessarily look to return to where they come from. So how did you return? How did it kind of come about, and how reluctant were you?
Thank you for having me on today. I think for me, I didn't really have a lot of plans when I left to go to Offerton in Stockport to serve my discipleship year. And it wasn't like everyone else who is familiar with Scunthorpe. We don't really necessarily, we're not a university city, or we're a little town. And so people would leave to go to university and then just happen to find a job and then stay there. And so that didn't happen for me. It was really intentional that I was going away for a year and that would come to an end, and then what would happen. And so I wasn't massively reluctant to come back, but it certainly wasn't hugely on my agenda either, until probably halfway through my discipleship year, in which I just felt like God had just given me this real depth of love for Scunthorpe and what he was doing in Scunthorpe and what his kingdom could look like in Scunthorpe. And so even if I was humanly reluctant, I was certainly spiritually excited about the possibility of coming back and what God could do when I returned home. And ultimately, Scunthorpe is always going to be home for me and my husband now, I think. And we get excited even when we drive back on the motorway and we see the Scunthorpe skyline, which is really just some high-rise flats and the steelworks. But we just get excited about being here and being able to serve and lead here.
That's so, good to hear. And you mentioned your husband. Where did you meet, and where's he from?
So he's from South Africa. From a place called Durban in South Africa. He's lived here for 10 years now. And his family actually moved to Scunthorpe, but they didn't. We ended up, by a very odd turn of events, both on the same placement on our discipleship year, which was not by design, not by our design at all. And so that's where we knew each other, but we properly met there. And so we actually weren't the best of friends for the first few months, but grew this friendship, developed this friendship, and just realized we had a really similar heart to each other and to serve God's kingdom. And the rest is history, as sure. They might say.
And he's training for Christian ministry, of in that kind of, to use that kind of language.
No. I am a Baptist minister in training, and wasn't that when we initially planted. That's kind of birthed in the last 2 years. So I go to St Hill College based in Sheffield, and Paul works in the community, so he is a community development worker right in the middle of our community.
Okay.
And before that he worked in early years teaching, but we've always tried to be in whatever he did very intentional about that being in the local community and for the benefit of the whole community. So we would very much see ourselves in ministry, but that doesn't necessarily look like working for the church, but being the church.
No, that's well put, way well put. Thank you. And so tell us about the area of Crosby, which is, of course, just west of what's become known as Scunthorpe. It's kind of a collection of villages historically,
isn't
it? But...
Yes, it was, yeah. Yeah, so Crosby is it's a very multicultural part of our town. So if you tend to move in to Scunthorpe from different places of the world, then you would tend to move into Crosby. There's a lot of cheap housing and a lot of private landlords, so not even social housing, although there is a lot of that. There is quite a lot of privately owned houses that are then rented. And so the rules on that are a little bit more flexible depending on who the landlord is, which helps, I think, if you're coming from somewhere where you don't have a lot of money. So that tends to happen. And we have a large presence of the Muslim community in our community. It is so diverse. It is wonderful. There's a road that goes through the middle of our neighbourhood, and there is always a buzz with people and shops from all over the world. So one of our favourite shops is this tiny little Polish bakery, and we go to quite a lot. And but an old English butcher shop. So there's a real diversity within the community, but also a real settled people who have lived there forever. Their grandma lived there, their great-grandma lived there, and it goes back for generations. Originally a really working-class community, and to some element at its foundation still is that. It merges with the town ward, so the high street. And so we see a lot of homelessness, a lot of drug use, prostitution, the regular things that you would see in areas of poverty. And so riding the balance of those two things can be quite interesting sometimes.
Sure, sure. Well, we'll get into some of that maybe a little later. And what's the sort of church makeup locally?
There's a variety of churches. So within Crosby itself, there is a thriving Catholic church, the busiest, one of the busiest churches in the neighbourhood. And we used to live on the same road as the Catholic church. And one of the most lovely things was not being able to park on our street because the car park would overflow into the local roads. And so there's that. There's an Anglican church, St. George's Church. We work very closely with them. And then there's a Portuguese church, there's a Chinese church, there's a Romanian church. So a real breadth of churches of all different spectrums of involvement within the community. But there is a presence of God doing something there.
Oh, great. Well, let's to focus then on this missional community that you're part of. So how did it kind of come about, and how many are sort of involved in that?
Yeah, so it came about really when I moved back to Scunthorpe. My leader was brave enough to say to me, of course, you can go and live in an area as a single 21-year-old and work out what God's doing there. So that's what we did. And we moved in and didn't really do a great deal, actually. We just wanted to be local and just see what God was doing. I'm really passionate and always have been passionate about the local church and that being local in neighbourhoods, present, exactly like Jesus was. And so what would God do in that place without having to say to people, you must come down the road to our church building if you want to engage with Jesus, but actually, do you just want to come for a cup of tea and engage with Jesus at my house? And so that's what we did. And we've just seen that grow over time. There are some principles that we are very passionate about one of them being not starting anything new that is already existing in that community, but being able to build into and encourage and help what is already happening. Some of the things that have grown out of that is that we have started a youth group, which is thriving and a real asset to the community now. We do some kids provision in holidays and provide activities and meals and things for families. We run a food bank now. We do lots of social projects, I guess, but just to build a sense of community, of gathered community, understanding that transformation doesn't look just like the church going and doing something, but just the church being something and seeing the renewal of all things. And that means the schools in my neighbourhood thriving, and that means the families in my neighbourhood thriving, and the services who provide things to our neighbourhood thriving, as well as raising assets from our community who, I guess, disciples who would make disciples, and seeing what people have got in their hand and using that. So our approach has always been, we're all in this together, not we're doing something to our community, but we are in it with our community. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, no, sure. So it's not kind of the plan's not to sort of plant an independent church into the group as such. That's not the kind of aim from what you're gathering. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I think that would be fair. I think we never set out to have a large gathered worshipping community. If that's what, if that's what you mean by church, then that was never the intention when we first started. We've always had smaller gatherings of people who often meet in our lounge. Or around our table. That's our favourite place to do anything. I think the table is a real thin space where we have seen incredible things happen. And so one of the things we do, it seems like we've moved house a couple of times to keep up with the growth of what's happening in the community and be able to host that. And every single time, the first thing we've always done is buy a bigger table just so that we can gather more people around it. And so I think it depends what the definition of church is,
sure.
But for me, it is where two or three are gathered, and I think we do that, certainly, but a huge gathered worshipping community, I don't think, is what would benefit our community.
That's helpful. Well, you're listening to Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Fiona Kirby-Smith. He's involved in a missional community in Scunthorpe, and we'll be back just after this. Welcome back to the Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Fiona Kirby-Smith. Fiona is involved in a missional community in Scunthorpe. She's connected with the Baptist Church. They're based, talking a little bit about how the community has been established, as it were, working with folk locally. And you know, that's part of our conversation today. So, Fiona, as you kind of anticipated getting back into Scunthorpe and getting involved in this match, how are you feeling, and how has it sort of turned out for you?
How was I feeling originally? Yeah. I think it was really interesting because I was quite familiar with Scunthorpe. I'm quite an extrovert, so making friends is something that is probably a goal that I have every day.
Yes.
Is how many friends do I make today? And my husband is a complete introvert, so that's an interesting balance for us to strike. And so I think I almost went into it a little nervous because this was a part of our town I'd never lived in before. And so I was expectant at what God could do. But very nervous as to what it meant to really belong to this community and how I would do that. I think it's worked out okay. There's so much that we've done and so many mistakes that we've made and so many times where we have had to reflect and say we probably wouldn't do that again, or it's never perfect. And everyone often shares their good stories, but there have been plenty of times where it hasn't gone well. But I think all we have done is realise that even though I'm from Scunthorpe, we are foreigners in our community, and allow the community to host us in that, while also riding the tension of this is our place and we love it and we really love it. We invest here, we build our life here. Everything we're about is about being part of the family of God in this place, in Crosby. And so I think people have learned to trust that over time. We're 5 years in, so people now see us as people who are able to have a voice in the community and people who people come to. And the most exciting thing for me in that has been the local community have driven that conversation. So we didn't force ourselves on it. We didn't say we have something to offer, but we were just around and just made friends and family who respect us enough that even the services that work with people now come to us and say, actually, could you assist us in this thing, which has been something we never really considered that would happen, but has blown us out of the water. Just God being able to do so much more just by us saying we want to live with open hands to give away everything that we've got. We want to live with open lives, that nothing's off the books, and an open home, that actually every resource we have is a resource to be shared. And that has, God has just used that to speak to our community, I think. And yeah, we've just really hosted what God was doing, I think. That is, yeah, that's the best way I could put it.
Sure. So is there a kind of title to your group that people would come to? They would think, oh, you're the whatever. What do you call yourselves?
The really snazzy name of CORE, as in C-O-R-E, and our young people named that. So they wanted to change the core of their community, was what they said. And that spilled out to everything. So now we have CORE Kids and CORE Youth and CORE Care and CORE Connect. So it's grown over time. We never kind of imposed a structure. We've built structure around growth. And so so that is what it is known as, CORE.
And just to give listeners a bit of an idea of this kind of scale of things, what sort of number are you talking about?
In terms of what? The overall thing?
The overall thing, the church that you also are part of, you know, in terms of the Baptist church and what we're talking about in terms of numbers,
Great. So so the Baptist church that I work for is about 120 or 130 members. And so quite a large Baptist church in a town of 75,000 people. So on scales, it seems very insignificant. In terms of the community, we have 135 young people on our books, 75 kids. So in terms of number, we're making contact with, and I think there's a few thousand houses in Crosby. So a lot of those multi-occupancy, we've barely scratched the surface is what I would say. But have become quite a respected presence in that place, which for me is far more important than any number. And so we have got a really strong team of people who commit their time day in, day out, week in, week out. And that is in a number of different areas that we're part of. We have a kids team and a youth. We've been able to grow teams of people who are particularly passionate, which is good because it started with just me and Paul. And for a long time, that's what it was. But just sharing vision, sharing stories. I am really passionate about bringing back a good report about what God is doing and about our town. And so to be able to share a good report has meant that those teams have grown quite significantly with people who are genuinely passionate about the area and not just wanting to join a cause, which is what I am also particularly passionate about. We have a team who would honestly say that they are passionate about seeing the kingdom of God extended in Crosby, and not they want to support me and Paul, which is music to my ears, particularly because if we die tomorrow or if God calls us somewhere else tomorrow, which we would be happy to stay here forever, it shouldn't stop. The kingdom is so much bigger than personalities. And so, it's grown out of what we expected it to be, but that just enlarges your vision, doesn't it? So then your vision's bigger and you grow into that. It's like growing into a new pair of shoes all the time.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you, you know, your faith must have been stretched over the time, you know, in terms of what you've seen happening and, you know, how you felt when you started, etc.
Yes, absolutely. There have been so many times where I've thought, I'm not sure that I can, that we're giving our best or doing our best, or what is God doing here? What are we doing here? Is God still calling us here? I think that's a valid question to ask. I would say, because then when God says, yes, I am, that is a renewed passion and vision. But one of the things I've always been quite astounded by is that the founding verse for CORE is Isaiah 58, and to live in that acceptable fast to God, that actually we would spend ourselves, I think it says in verse 6, don't quote me on that, but to spend ourselves on behalf of those who are hungry or in need. And I think I just want to die spent. And so to keep going back to God and saying, in this season, what are you asking me to do? What is the rhythm of grace for my life? Has been a real lifeline for us. And there have been times where we have got that balance wrong and just have to go back all the time and rebalance that with God and say, what is it in this season? What does it look like at the moment? And God is gracious and faithful. And we have got good Christian leaders around us who hold us to account in that and care for us well. So
wonderful. Thank you. And you mentioned it's a Muslim area. Obviously, there are varieties of nominalism amongst Muslims in terms of seriousness, yes, etc. What sort of connection do you have with the Muslim folk?
Yeah, so quite a healthy relationship, I would say. It's a very beautiful community of people who love and serve our town, and that is something that we are all in unity on and all agree on. And so we have had a few moments where we have gathered and we've all prayed together when particularly things have happened in the nation that mean there could be a lot of hate or bad feeling towards particular religious organisations. And so we have tried to have unity, and remembering that the definition of unity is you do what you do and I'll do what I do, and we won't argue on that. We won't have disunity on that. We won't be fractious about that. But okay, this is who we are, and knowing who you are, I think, helps in that. And so it is. I used to live on the same road as the mosque, and my husband meets and sees the imam. And yeah, it's a very helpful community. I think because of the diversity of our community, it doesn't need any more disunity. It needs voices that will unify it. And so that is what we're trying to do, but holding strong to the fact that Jesus is Lord. And that is who we're called to serve.
Splendid. And just as we close, sadly, Fiona, leadership lessons, there must be loads, but any particular ones you'd want to share as we close?
Yeah, I think the one of the things would be to remember what is the unique thing. So what makes us unique, as in our personal gift and calling, but also the corporate thing that we're called to do. Ultimately, that is that Jesus is Lord, and that we love God and we love people and we serve them well. But beyond that, that is the thing that we go back to when it does get tough and when it does get hard, and when everything is going wrong, being able to say, it is well anyway, and I will do this anyway, and holding fast to the conviction that we have in Jesus.
Oh, well, that's fabulous, Fiona. Thank you for sharing your story and for, you know, the enthusiasm you clearly bring to the whole project. And this will be a blessing and help to many listening, some of whom may be working in missional communities just like yours. So thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.
You've been listening to Leadership Fire with me, Andy Peck. I was joined this week by Fiona Kirby-Smith. Fiona and her husband, Paul, live in Cosby, an urban priority area in Scunthorpe. And she's described the missional community called CORE, C-O-R-E, and all that they've been able to do within the community there. So do log on to Premier's website and listen to archived versions of the Leadership File, including this one. You can go to the store and get a copy of my book, The Leadership Road Less Travelled. And you can join me next Sunday at 3:30. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.